You're listening to
V for Vertigo,
episode 51.
Something kind of vertigo going on here. I've been seeing fables in my dreams. I've been laying scalped out here for hours in this swamp in New Orleans. I've been reading spells from books of magic, trying just to help blaze trails to you. Feeling like a loser, so, so tragic. Feeling like I'm left to preach at fools. All the time spent moving, oh so slow. It's something kind of vertigo.
This is V for Vertigo and One Man's Journey into the World of All Things Vertigo Comics, where I'm in the air everywhere because everything else is just picture books. I'm your host, Mo. And this week's review will be about Human Target by Peter Milligan and Edvin Bukovic. Already fucked up and show's barely even started. I apologize if this sounds a bit weird. I don't know what's up with my mic or my computer. One week I don't have to sit really close and it picks up everything in the room. And next week I do, and this week I don't. That's really weird, but whatever. I kind of like it this way better, although the filtering will suck, but no one cares. So I hope everyone had a good Valentine's Day. Mine did. Turned out to be alright, even though things weren't looking good, and I'm not entirely sure if it was a date. Actually, I'm pretty sure it wasn't a date. But hopefully I can turn it into something more. Because we're going to hang out again. Hang out, quote unquote. I don't know what that means. Although I'm not getting any. This friend route really sucks. But oh well. I think it'll be worth it. Assuming things go as hopeful. Whatever. I don't know. I don't want to talk about it no more. So, I finally watched a couple of shitty movies. I was hanging out with my boys last night, and we were kind of just bullshitting and chilling at my friend's place, like it was the old days of high school, 10 years ago. It was cool, although none of us could agree on a movie we liked, because, you know, some people liked Avatar, which I finally saw. Some people didn't. Some people liked Sherlock Holmes. Some people didn't. Some people thought Die Hard 4 was good. Seriously, people? Who the fuck thinks Die Hard 4 is good? Do you also think Indiana Jones 4 is good? No. So I didn't, obviously. And then, yeah, I don't know. And then Batman, Dark Knight. We were like, eh. Some of us thought the first one was better. Some of us thought there wasn't enough Heath Ledger. It's all very weird. But we ended up watching Final Destination 3D in 2D. Because there weren't enough glasses to go around. And the... The movie comes with 3D glasses, quote unquote. But it's the old school kind that that are blue and red. And not only that, I think it's for kids. My head has gotten really, really big, but it's not that big compared to my other friends. Or, I don't even know what's up. The shit could not fit over my ears. Otherwise, we would have had enough to all watch it in 3D. So, rather disappointed in that. And there weren't enough Avatar glasses to go around. And I wear glasses. So, but even without my glasses, the 3D glasses still wouldn't fit. But I thought the first Final Destination movie was pretty good. The second one was alright. I mean, it progressively, like M. Night Shyamalan's career, progressively got worse. But
there's like too much CG, which I hate.
Because we all know how bad CG is and it ages badly. Even if you're a big blockbuster, George Lucas. And then, the deaths. Like, in the first movies, there was actually suspense in the deaths, where they'd show one thing, and you're like, oh, she's gonna die with X happening, because they're setting it up, and then they'd always, Y, she died because of Y instead of X, and then you're like, damn! And there was less CG in the earlier, the first three movies, or the first two at least. But that movie wasn't good. And then after that, we talked because none of the movies were good. And then after that, we watched G.I. Joe. I'm not a big G.I. Joe fan to begin with. But man, that movie sucked. At least even though that also had too much CGI, it had better CGI than Final Destination. But man, that movie was horrible. The two chicks are hot. That's about it. That movie was laughable. Transformers 2 was better, people! TF2, and I'm not talking about Team Fortress 2 either. So suck it. Alright, enough of my movie talk. Kind of want to talk about Tiger Woods, but not really. I guess let's get to the news.
Vertigo News.
So, in case you missed it, or didn't buy the House of Mystery Halloween special, like I didn't. That had I don't know if this is news, but I found it interesting. That had an iZombie prequel in it. It's a strange story, to say the least. And it's a strange and a prequel. But since iZombie hasn't come out yet, it makes no sense. Because, I mean, it's short, right? It's like 6 pages or so. And it doesn't actually revolve around the detective zombie chick. It revolves around some mummy dude. Which doesn't make much sense. And the way it needs to be read, like, there are leaks. I'm gonna give you the link for it. But the links don't go from like one page to one page. It doesn't pop. It's not a PDF. And it's not like picture viewer. It's just like you click a link, go to a page, and then it doesn't even say next page. Then you gotta go back. And then gotta go to the other page to click. So, yeah. But I'm still looking forward to the story, despite the fact that that story sucked. So, I don't know when it's out this year, because I don't pay attention to previews. But I hope it comes out soon. That's pretty much all I got for the news. I mean, there's really nothing else. There was a huge shakeup at DC, where... Let me see if on top of my head. Jim Lee became head of something. Some other people whose names I don't know also got new jobs. And Jeff Johns, the other guy whose name I do know, is now creative director of something. What does that mean? That means that they don't want him to go to Marvel. So... they're paying him more and gave him a fancy new title to keep him. That's what that means, right? I don't know if Marvel did the same day with Bendis, but they probably will now if they hadn't already. So, there you go. I don't want to get in the fan speculation because it's the equivalent of... what can I equate this to? Whenever I hear these types of news things, or like Disney buying Marvel or whatever, all the fans out there, same 10 million jokes aside, they all do some kind of fucking retarded speculation about it, and it's stupid, because 99% of the people that talk, it doesn't affect you. I mean, well, you're not in it. You're not, unless you work in the industry where you're like, oh, what does this mean for us? It's not going to affect you. It might, but it's going to take years. It's not going to affect you in the immediacy. And it has, like, you don't care, unless, even if you're a stockholder, unless you go to stockholders meetings, which who does? I don't. I'm not flying to New York for that shit. So it always amazes me that people are just, they get all pages and then special call-in shows, and it's like, can't wait to hear those, but it's retarded. It's like when AT&T bought Singular, or Singular bought AT&T, whatever, one of the two. Well, AT&T bought Singular. And then they became the largest network, like phone network. You're like, that's great. Your service is still shitty. You get no signal. My friend's short out. Alright, Verizon's still better. And Sprint is still better. Although they're about to go under. But it really reminds me of that. And we're like, yeah, you're the biggest now. Now in 10 or 20 years, when you actually get your shit together, you know, and merge all the various towers and networking systems that are in place, then. But until then, I don't give a shit. Except that instead of paying Singular, I now pay AT&T. But it's still the same thing. So it's basically like that. All the whenever I hear these news bits, I'm like, yeah, it's basically like that. I don't really care. It's not like when Disney bought Marvel, they're gonna, instead of put Marvel on the title, they're gonna put Disney. And even if they did, I don't fucking care. Same shit, right? Alright, yeah, okay. So. Who cares who's in charge? It don't make no difference anyway. Alright, enough of the news. Let's get to the meat of the show.
And now it's time for the rundown.
Now, like I mentioned before, Human Targets by Peter Milligan and Edvin Bukovic, whom apparently died in, let me see, the book says, what does it say, December 5th, 1999, so that's kind of sad. Now, the reason I picked Human Target is I had never, I was planning on reading it before the TV show, before I had heard it. Because I stumped Mr. Peter Rios of Comic Geek Speak and asked him to send me some Vertigo trades as a prize. A year and a half later, he did. Thanks, Peter. Now, I probably would have bought Human Target because of the show. Now, these trades I have are the older ones. And the one I'm reviewing today is just called Human Target. But I believe the newer dress trade is called Human Target Chance Meeting. I'm not sure, though. I could be wrong. And I think Chance Meeting consists of two stories. Whereas Human Target, the one I'm reviewing today, is just issues 1 through 4. So. Now, for my summary of the book, there's a hit where a man gets his face blown off, like that part in Final Destination 3D. I kind of just thought of that, though. Okay, now he hires Christopher Chance to impersonate him, but Chance declines. Chance becomes a black preacher named Earl James, and during his sermon, a gang tries to kill him but fails. Afterwards, he has sex with Emerald, who's hired to kill him. But before she can kill him, a masked man interferes. And it turns out that he's the real Christopher Chance. And during all this confusion, Emerald escapes. Now the real Chance tries to convince the fake one that he's actually Tom McFadden. my throat's kind of itchy. Who is Chance's assistant, whom he had to impersonate him while he was getting facial reconstructive surgery because, you know, Emerald shot his face off. I don't know, what are the odds of that, right? Now, someone, or Denoise, threatens Earl about the fairy head, and it does get out. And he commits seppuku. That's suicide to all you gaijin. Now, Tom, he's going a bit crazy, and he's losing his identity and his family. Tom's wife and Earl's wife or widow tries to get Chance to help them. Now, he eventually decides to help him. And Chance is going to give one last sermon as Earl. Because Earl killed himself, but it was like... he shot himself, but he didn't do it correctly. So he's taken to the hospital on life support. So he's not technically dead, but he dies somewhere here. Now, Tom warns Chance while he's giving the sermon, just as Emerald tries to kill him. Chance kills Emerald. And so does... and D-Noise dies, who was the guy who... rapper slash drug dealer who was... who wanted the reverend dead. The preacher dude dead. At the end, Chance has Tom...
impersonate one more person.
And that person is Tom McFadden. The end. I thought Human Target was going to be a serious book. Damn, my mic for picking up all my coughs. Yeah, I can't turn it off either. At least serious as compared to the TV show, which isn't really saying much. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. No, wait. Let there be light. No, who cares? In the beginning of the book, a lot of people died, and in horrific ways. And my favorite line was, I am a severed penis stuffed into a dying mouth. I don't get it either. I am a severed penis stuffed into a dying mouth. What does that mean? Severed penis stuffed into a dying mouth. I was just like, huh? What? Well, that all seemed serious. Although I'm not sure if I'm a severed penis stuffed into a dying mouth is one of those ironic sayings. You know what I mean? But so after that, half an issue or so, it got all comedic. Like, I mean, the part where... where the gangsters try to kill the reverend preacher. I forget what the difference is. They start pulling out guns in the middle of the sermon, which is fine, and shooting him. But then preacher says something. But then it's like some dude busts out with a grenade launcher, and then I was laughing. I was like, what the fuck? And then of course, the churchgoers, they beat up on the gangsters. It was weird. Now, the revelation at the end of the first issue shouldn't be a big surprise. And it was when Chance, the real Chance, revealed himself to the fake Chance. But for some strange reason, it was. I mean, I didn't expect it, although I probably should have. Now, the trade itself, at least this trade, it is short. It's very... very short. Pretty pricey too. $13. I didn't think the short trade would have anything deeper, a major twist like that. I just was like, it's not gonna have room. Just looking at it, there's gonna be a lot of killing. Maybe some nudity. It's gonna be like a fun popcorn. Like, get your popcorn ready, you know? But that surprised me. Oh man, that was good. Now, I'm just curious, since it was quote-unquote easy for Chance and McFadden to play a black guy, and to do a good job at not just looking the part, but being the part, which, that was kind of a downfall. Like, I wanted to see, like, what was their prep? Did they spend time with the target? Did they survey the target? Like, what did they do? Like, how did they know how to be such and such? Like, I could see Tom easily playing Chance because, you know, you work with him. day in and day out, and you're his assistant. So you're his bitch, and you do all his bitch work. But, like, other people, how do you be them? And I wanted to see. I wish there was more of that. Maybe if it was longer, or maybe it'll be explained more in the other books. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, it's easier for them to play a black guy, alright? So, is it as easy for them to play a woman, or old people, or young people? I also want to see if that, hopefully that is better down the pipeline. Now, Human Target isn't about Christopher Chance. It's more about Tom McFadden and how fucked up his head is. Now, if you think I'm wrong, you're wrong. Just like if you like Die Hard 4. How does he say Sherlock Holmes like Die Hard? I mean, come on. He ain't even drafted anywhere. You know, I'm not even gonna get on my tangent. I was like, what the hell? I love the trilogy that is Die Hard. We just ignore the other last one. Now, think about it, okay? The story starts with Tom and ends with him. Even though you think the story starts with Chance. I mean, it does. Like, the first page, guy gets his face shut off. You're like, oh, random. That's random. You know? I mean, I also wanted to know if, like, when Tom actually thought he was Chance, did he have the Chance makeup underneath the Earl James makeup? Didn't really say that. What had me sad was the ending. Emerald died, and I didn't want her to die. I never like it when the hot chick dies. I don't know why. I'm a bit, I don't like it when women die. I blame Milligan for that, because he showed that she had a family life, and not only that, she was pregnant. Like, I'm not sure how she got to be a trained killer, but apparently she signed up somewhere for her. Now, one of the characters who was actually growing in the book was D-Noise. But, you know, his dumbass got killed when he tried to save Chance, who was pretending to be Earl James, and then Chance shot him. Yeah, I hope this doesn't sound as confusing as it kind of does to me, and I read it. Now, what I didn't like Tom living at the end and the other two dying. Because Emerald actually loved and supported her family. D-Noise actually learned from when that one chick tried to kill herself. I don't know if she succeeded. I don't think so. When she tried to kill herself by slicing her wrist. Alright. Tom was a man who had a normal life, a good life, family life, decent job, I guess, you know, quote unquote, every American's dream. But this is the fact that he didn't appreciate what he had. I mean, out of all of his people, he didn't really grow. He went in the opposite direction. And he should have died as a martyr, as he wanted to, and where I thought it was going to go, pretending to be the preacher. Now, as I said before, this trade is short, and I thought it was going to be a disappointing read. It's just so thin. So, but the four issues here, it's very good, and there's a lot of story in it. I've heard people mention the name Peter Milligan before. I've not read him. I think he did Shade the Changing Man. I'm not sure, though. This might be my first works read by him. Now, if his other works are as good as this, I can see why people mention his name, and I may start buying stuff based on his name, or at least give it a shot. We'll see. If the other, like, next couple of things I read are shit or mediocre, I'll be like, eh, it's Peter Milligan. He's overrated, like Alan Moore. Zing! Okay. Now, let me get to my, let me get my, Mark critic score. 4 out of 5. Bing! Okay. Now, let me get my TV book comparisons. Human Target here means something a lot different than it does on the television show. I actually like the premise more here, because here the definition is Chance becomes whomever the target is. He's the human target. It's like, oh, he's the human target. On the TV show, Chance isn't the target. human target applies to whoever he's protecting. He's more of a bodyguard, you know, who makes the target more of a target so that the hitter can plotter, planner, assassinator, whatever, can expose himself. The premise here is a lot more deeper than a TV show because the Chance or Tom or whomever doesn't just become or doesn't just look like the target. They literally become the target. And they may get action from the dude's wife. I mean, that's not to say that after reading this, I'm gonna enjoy the television show. Or, like, think it should be better or different. It's one of those things. It's like, I think the TV show will be fine if it's just one and done. So, although they're working in, like, Chance's former boss. And at the end of this one, he wanted to know who hired Emerald to kill him. So that's all good. Oh, when it's all said and done. But I don't, they're different. And last week's Human Target episode was good. Yeah, so different in their own ways. It's like what I told my friend last night. When I watch any movie based on some beloved cartoon show from the 80s, I just turn my brain off. It's like, what do you expect? Or not even cartoon show. When I go watch the A-Team, turn my brain off. You know, there's some movies where you're like, I just got turned off. So, that's all I got for Human Target. Thanks for listening, everybody. As always, I appreciate it if you left me some feedback on iTunes. Next week, there will not be a review. There should be an interview. Knock on wood. Knock, knock. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, email me at vertigocast@gmail.com or go to thecomicforums.com, see what's coming up, visit the website at vforvertigo.blogspot.com. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/hellsfire. And remember, for the coward, there is no life. For the hero, there is no death.
And like that,